Hey, what's going on, guys? DK back at you with another video here to break down the three-game NBA slate on Friday. FYI, this is a very early start, which I was looking at this. I was like, why on earth is it Pacers-Bucks game at 4:30 p.m. Central? But that's when the slate starts, so just remember that, because most of the time it starts at 6 or 6:30 Central, and it starts at 4:30. So make sure you get your lineups in early. But yeah, this is your first time watching. I cover content for DFS as well as for player prop stuff. A prize picks, underdog, parlay, play. The sponsor today's video, that's going to be BetMGM, guys. They're still running great offer here where if you sign up and place a bet, you'll get $1,500 back in bonus bets if it does not hit. Example, sign up, place a bet for $1,500, doesn't hit, you'll get that $1,500 back in bonus bets. So click the link and deposit if you do. It does help support the channel. But I always say in these videos, get in as many on the sports books and DFS sites as possible, and then you can search for the value when you do want to place your prop bets. All right, so we'll just get into it. We'll start off here with Milwaukee and Indiana. Oh, real quick. So the recap of last night, there was no shot I was going to win on a set like that. Miami ended up winning by 10. Not have that in my bingo card. I was playing for the blowout in that game. I stacked the second game, hoping that would stay competitive. That was the game that blew out. So a set like that, I told people, I was like, there is no shot I was going to win money on a set like that. All right, so let's talk about this slate. Again, Milwaukee and Indiana is the first game here. So Milwaukee, Giannis still doubtful. Middleton questionable. Got to keep an eye on it. My assumption is he'll probably play, but he didn't practice. But this is a very important game here for the Bucks. We can take a look at the rotation here from Milwaukee last game in that game against the Pacers. They got blown out. They waved the white flag at the end. But they basically ran, what, 8-man rotations. The starters were Brook Lopez, Popov, Dame, Middleton, Portis, and then you saw Jay Crowder. I'll play 14 minutes of the bench. Pat Connaughton played 18 minutes of the bench. Only 10 minutes of Malik Beasley. And Beasley closed in garbage time. So the minutes went way, way down on Malik Beasley, who played 29 minutes in game one, which was kind of surprising. But yeah, so keep an eye on Middleton. If Middleton does not play, that's going to make this team look very, very appealing, because then it's going to be the Dame and Bobby Portis show, and then we're going to have a lot of value. Like, Beverly's already a solid value, but then, like, Malik Beasley, Pat Connaughton, Jay Crowder would all look really good, would all get a nice minutes bump if Middleton doesn't play. So keep a close eye on that. My assumption is, though, just because this is a very important game, that Middleton will be able to give it a go, because when he hurt his ankle and then he came back. Yeah, they retaped it and he was able to finish that game out. Yeah, top end, Dame Lillard, 9-3. So we know he has a massive ceiling, played 39 minutes and lost what? 20 minutes he lose in the blowout. When did he get pulled? What, 5 minutes to go? 6 minutes to go? Oh, 10 to, yeah, about 5 minutes left. So he was on, Damian Lillard was on pace to play 44 minutes. That's pretty insane. Yeah, he's going to look better if Middleton doesn't get rolled out. But either way, I do like Dame a good amount here. Middleton at 7-4, I think is a pretty good play in the mid-range, assuming he does give it a go. I would assume he plays high 30s minutes. He was also on pace to play over 40 minutes. Bobby Portis, 6.9K. Probably play some in the neighborhood of low to mid 30s minutes. He would look a little bit better if Middleton does not play. Brook Lopez at 5.4, I think is a pretty safe play. Probably sees low 30s minutes. Not a guy with a massive ceiling, but does have a relatively high floor just because he's out there a ton and is relatively cheap. Pat Bev, you can kind of say the same thing about him. Not a guy with a massive ceiling, but you know, can do some of the peripheral stats, get some assists, get some blocks and steals. 37, 34 minutes over the last couple games, so he's a decent value play. And then these punt plays, like Malik Beasley, 3.9, again, barely played last game. Pat Connaughton, 3.5, played 19 minutes. Jay Crowder at 3.3, played 15 minutes. Right now, my favorite of these three would be Pat Connaughton, who I think he plays the most, and a shooting guard, small forward eligibility. But, again, if Middleton can't go, these guys look way, way more appealing. My assumption would be Jay Crowder would probably start if Middleton can't go, but I would assume a lot more minutes for guys like Beasley and Connaughton, too. All right, now for the Pacers, so they switched it up because they were in a pretty deep rotation in game one, and they did not in game two. They played eight guys, basically. Very end, they emptied the bench, but starters were Naismith, Haliburton, Nembhard, Siakam, Turner. You saw McConnell play some on the bench. You saw Obi Toppin play some, and you saw Ben Shepherd. So they basically played Obi Toppin as kind of like your backup five. Like, you did not, or Siakam as the backup five. They did not play Jalen Smith or Isaiah Jackson. So that, in my opinion, makes the Pacers look really good. If they're going to run that same rotation, these guys are not priced for that, right? Tyrese Haliburton, 8.6K. I think I prefer Dame at a similar price point for a little bit more, but Haliburton does have a pretty high floor because of the assist, right? And if he has one of those games where he can get it going scoring, we know he has a ceiling. So right now, a bit more of a contrarian play, but still got to have interest in Haliburton. I think Siakam's going to be just massive chalk. massive chalk. Expect him to play close to 40 minutes. He's been amazing so far in this series. They're running a lot of offense through him as well. So, yeah, he's going to be very, very popular. Miles Turner, I think, is one of the best plays in the mid-range. Played 34 minutes. Again, they did not play it back at five. We know Turner's a good point-per-minute guy, and we know throughout the season the issue with Turner was just the minutes. There were times where they would go to Smith or Isaiah Jackson and play Turner like mid-20s minutes. Well, I think he's going to get close to mid-30s minutes in this game, so he's not priced for that. I think he looks really good. Aaron Naismith at 5.1 should play high 30s minutes. I think he's a pretty solid play. And then, yeah, Andrew Nembhard at 4.3 probably sees low 30s minutes. I would say a bit of an outlier game from him, but again, they trimmed down this rotation, so he looks better. Obi Toppin at 3.4 I think is a solid punt play too. Played 21 minutes. Again, they did not play a backup five, so a close to min price Obi Toppin, I think, is a decent value play. We skipped over TJ McConnell, but he's 4.4K. Didn't have the best game in 16 minutes, but we know McConnell is a good point-per-minute player, and he can play alongside Halliburton, so he's still in play for value. And the last guy to mention is Ben Shepherd. Not good point-per-minute at all, but he played 23 minutes. So there's actually a lot to like here for the Pacers, in my opinion. This game in general, I think, looks really good. Probably my favorite game to target is this early game, Pacers, Bucks. Both teams should run very tight rotations, and I think it's the highest total. Let's see. Where is it? If DraftKings will. Sometimes this does this because I have just too many tabs open, which is the story of my life. All right. What is it? So 222, 211. Yeah, it's the highest total and 6-point spread. All right, so let's move on to Clippers and Mavericks. So let's bring up the rotation here for the Clippers. Last game with Kawhi back. So Clippers ran the normal starting lineup, man. Zubac, Kawhi, Paul George, and Harden. You saw Westbrook play off the bench. Plumlee got extended in the first half because Zubac got in foul trouble, but he was not good in the defensive end. Powell and then Amir Coffey. I would not be surprised if the Clippers just boot Plumlee from the rotation, just don't play a backup five, just play small ball. I think that's definitely in the range of outcomes, or they're just going to play Zubac a ton. I don't know if you guys noticed in the second half, Avicii Zubac played massive minutes, right? He sat for like, what, 4 minutes, and that's it? So I think the ceiling for minutes is pretty high in Zubac, so they don't have a backup center right now. But yeah, top end, you got Harden at 8K, Paul George 7.9, Kawhi 7.8. None of these guys stand out. If you land on one of them, fine, but for me, I would rather get to Siakam at a similar price point. I would rather spend down a bit on, you know, Portis or Middleton. I'd rather spend up a bit on like Dame or Halliburton. I don't think any of the big three from the Clippers stand out. Now, doesn't mean you can't play them. No, I think they're firmly in play. I mean, you saw what, 42 minutes for James Harden. Paul George played 37 minutes. Kawhi Leonard in his first game back played 35. So like they're all fine options. I just think that no one stands out to me. I think my favorite play on the Clippers is Avicii Zubac. When we mentioned those second half minutes, right? He played 33 minutes total while getting in massive foul trouble early, which really tilted me because I had him on that last slate. But yeah, they don't really have a backup center right now they're confident in. So, and Zubac just looked well, looked pretty good in this series. I do like him at 6K. I think there's, it's in the range of outcomes. He could play like 38 minutes. Like, that's definitely possible. So I do like Zubac there in the mid range. The rest of the Clippers, Russell Westbrook is 5K, kind of indifferent on him. But 23, 24 minutes, first two games, not a bad point per minute player, reasonable price point. So he's totally fine. I kind of like Norm Powell's contrarian play. He's been quiet to start the series, 30 and 26 minutes, 2 of 6, 2 of 10 shooting. But, Norm Powell is a guy that can get it going. And, you know, he has the upside to go for, you know, high 20s to low 30s fantasy points. So kind of like him as a contrarian value. Here it's Mana 4.1, only played 21 minutes last game, which is definitely concerning. I'd rather play Powell for a little bit more. Amir Coffey's 3.6. It didn't play enough for me to get to him. And then you saw a little bit of Plumlee, but I'm not even confident he plays tomorrow. Now for Dallas. So DeMarco Jr.'s out. Daniel Gafford questionable. He got banged up. He was able to return, but he did not look like himself. Keep a close eye on that because the Gafford news, I think, is massive. If Gafford can't go, then that opens up two really good value plays. Derek Lively would probably start and be one of the best values on the board. And then Maxi Kleber would play the backup five. And even though Kleber is not a good point per minute player at 3.5, it would make him look really good too. So those two would benefit the most if Daniel Gafford does not play. Now look at the rotation last game for Dallas. They ran the same starting five. Hardaway played 6 minutes, but again, he's not going to be able to play. He saw 6 minutes of Exum, 14 minutes of Josh Green, and then Kleber, Lively. So they technically played 10 guys, but they really didn't play the bench a ton. And again, Gafford got injured and barely played. So top end, Luka at 11.7. here's what I've been saying about Luka in the playoffs. Yes, you can play Luka Doncic, but there's other guys, I think, in the upper mid-range that look way more optimal to get to, so it is kind of tough to get to Luka. Not saying you can't play him, and if there's more value that opens up, like maybe Gafford gets rolled out, we get Lively, we get Kleba, okay, then maybe it's a little bit easier to get to Luka. Luka's more of a contrarian play. I do think it's still easier to get to Kyrie at 8.4, just because that's kind of how the playoff build's been going. You're just kind of focusing a little bit more on the mid-range, upper mid-range guys, because the value's just not really, there's not a lot of great value plays usually in the playoff slate, so... Kyrie Irving, I think, is a bit more optimal to get to than Luka Doncic. PJ Washington had a really good game. He started slow, but hit some big shots there in the fourth quarter. I think he's relatively safe. He's one of the better defenders. He's going to be out there a ton, and he's at a reasonable price point. So, totally fine with PJ Washington. Gafford, if he plays, is viable in tournaments. The minute's not been there, he has not looked good. But if he misses, again, that really opens up stuff for Lively and Kleba. Either way, even if Gafford plays, I still think Lively's viable. 19-21 minutes over the last couple games. And Maxi Kleba most likely closes. He can stretch the floor 27 and 28 minutes. Again, are you going to be excited about playing Maxi Kleba? No, but the minutes should be there for him. And outside of that, with Hardaway Jr. out, I think Derrick Jones Jr. is an interesting punt play. He played 32 minutes. Now, another guy that's not great point per minute, but decent defender. And if he plays anywhere close to that again, he's going to stand out as a solid value. Last couple guys I mentioned, Josh Green, Dante Exum, 3.3 and 3.1K respectively. They probably will see some rotation minutes. If you want to take a shot in one of them and hope they get hot off the bench, fine, a large field tournament, but I'm not confident really at all. And finally, Minnesota and Phoenix. So, Flomo's questionable. He was active last game, but he did not play. So let me bring up the rotation for Minnesota and Phoenix last game. Minnesota, Cat Dellison foul trouble early. That's why he did not play at all in the second quarter. But, they ran the normal starters plus Monte Morris, NAW, and Naz Reid. That was the eight-man rotation. And Monte Morris only played 10 minutes and he closed with the last like minute or two in garbage time. So they gave their starters a lot of run. McDaniels played 41 minutes. Ant was on pace for about 40 minutes. Gobert was on pace for over 40 minutes. Conley was on pace for low 30s. So and NAW was on pace for 30 plus minutes as well. Looking at the price points here for Minnesota, I do think Anthony Edwards is a pretty solid play at 9K. Didn't have the best shooting game, still for 40 plus fantasy points. Yeah, we know the ceiling is very high in him. He should play close to 40 minutes here. Rudy Gobert, I think, is also very safe and one of the better plays in the mid-range. Should play massive minutes, assuming no foul trouble. 39, 37 minutes over the last couple games, so Gobert looks pretty good. Currently, Towns more of a contrarian play. I know he dealt some foul trouble. I still don't know what the minutes upside is on him when he's healthy, though. He was not closing that game last game, too, which was a little bit concerning there for Cat. So right now, Cat more of a contrarian play for me. Mike Conley, I think, is a decent play in the mid-range as well. He should play around 30 minutes. You're not going to be super excited about Conley, but firmly in this rotation, McDaniels had a massive game, 38 and 41 minutes over the last couple games. Now, obviously, the 42 fantasy point game from Jaden McDaniels is a bit of an outlier, but as long as he avoids foul trouble, he's going to be out there a ton. So he stands out as a pretty good value play. My boy Naz Reid, 4-5, even with the Cat foul trouble, didn't do a ton. But we know Naz Reid's a good point per minute guy, and he does have the upside to play more than the 19, 17 minutes he's played over the last couple games. He has the upside to play 25 minutes or so. So I'm intrigued by Naz Reid in tournaments because we know the ceiling's there. I think NAW is a pretty good value play too. 29, 31 minutes. Slow-mo just didn't even play. Solidifies the minutes for NAW if they do that again. So, and he's got shooting guard, small forward eligibility. So NAW, Jaden McDaniels, I think both pretty good values here. Not really interested in Monte Morris, might play a little bit, but not enough for me to get to him. And finally, Phoenix. So, got to keep an eye on Grayson Allen. This is actually a slate for the playoffs where we have a couple of big pieces of news. So Grayson Allen can't play. Royce O'Neal, in my opinion, becomes a really good value. And then you're going to see he would start most likely. And you'd see a lot more run for Eric Gordon, too. Look at that Phoenix rotation last game. Ran the same starters, Grayson, Booker, Nurk, Beal, KD. And Grayson Allen got injured earlier in the third, was not able to return. Eric Gordon played off the bench. Royce O'Neal played off the bench. And he saw a little bit of Drew Eubanks. That was the eight-man rotation. Look at the top end guys. KD at 8-2, Booker at 8-1, Beal at 6-4. I mean, it's do or die time. So don't be surprised if these guys all play 40 plus minutes. I mean, what, you saw 41 minutes for KD, 42 minutes for Booker. What did they get pulled? They got pulled with about 2 minutes left. So yeah, Booker was on pace for like 43 minutes. KD or Beal was on pace for 44. KD was on pace for 43. Dirk was on pace for like 33. So. I expect those top three guys, KD, Booker, and Beal, to just play massive minutes. It's probably the easiest to get to Beal because he's 6.4K, but he had kind of a subpar game in 42 minutes last game. But yeah, I think KD, Booker, and Beal all pretty solid plays at their respective price points. And then I do like Nurk. I don't think that Phoenix is super confident in playing Eubanks a ton of minutes. And it's not like Nurk's been amazing in the series, but he's just better than Drew Banks. So, like, Nurk could play 35 minutes in this game, and I would not be shocked. And he's a good point-per-minute player. So I do like my boy Yusuf Nurk at 6'2". And then, yeah, Grayson Allen is massive. Grayson Allen plays that I think, like, Allen, Royce O'Neal, Gordon are all playable, but no standouts. If Grayson Allen misses, Royce O'Neal would probably start. He would look great. Eric Gordon would play a lot more off the bench. He would look really solid. Gordon finally had a good game, was finally able to make some shots. So those two would benefit the most there if Grayson Allen gets rolled out. And then you would probably, my guess is probably Okogie would be in the rotation if Grayson Allen can't play. I mean, maybe you would see a little bit of Bol Bol. I know he was kind of seeing some minutes in the regular season too. Maybe one of those two guys get dusted off if Grayson Allen doesn't play. But again, it's mainly Royce O'Neal and Aaron Gordon that would benefit in that scenario. And then Eubanks is 3-1. I mean, like I said, I don't think he's a guy that Phoenix wants to play a ton, but he's close to min price. He played 17 minutes last game. Sure, playable, but again, I don't feel confident really at all in his role. All right, guys, so that's going to wrap it up for the video. As always, if you do enjoy this, make sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and we'll see you guys in the next.